Hey guys, welcome to Masquerade of Motherhood, or as I like to call it, the Mom Show. I'm your host, Courtney Doyle, and this is a place where I am giving you permission to not have it all together.
So I would say for the mom who doesn't see a situation with their child yet changing yet, especially when it comes to their hearts, that really breaks ours whenever we know they're breaking God's hearts and they're not following God. Keep showing up.
Keep showing up. That is a message I think we all need to hear. Today, my guest is Tara Cole. She is a college professor, author, speaker, podcaster, and mom of three energetic boys. Tara understands the challenges of motherhood. After a season of thinking that she had to do it all in her own strength, she knew God was telling her to rest. After a time of rest, she continued to feel weary and then was ultimately diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. Through surrender, she has been able to lean into what God is teaching her through this diagnosis. It's okay to not do it all, to prioritize what is important in each of the places that God has called her to show up. She wants other moms to listen to where God wants you. Lean in and abide in Him. Only then will you be able to accomplish more than you ever could have done in your own strength. Here's my conversation with Tara. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. My guest today is Tara Cole. Tara, I'm just going to give you a second if you would tell our listeners a little bit about you.
My name is Tara L. Cole. I am a wife of over 20 years and I have three sons. As we were just talking about, I'm also a dog mom and love dogs like Courtney does. I've also been teaching at the college levels 15 years now. So for 15 years, I've taught online for 13 years and I absolutely love teaching. I love Bible. I'm also a podcaster. So I have the Overcut podcast, but I'm writing and sharing God's word and teaching moms and women how to really connect with God is my absolute favorite thing.
And you do a great job at it, by the way.
Well, thank you.
You really do. I'm going to jump right in talking about motherhood. And then I want you to share with me a little bit about your experience as a mom. Like you said, you've got three boys. What's been the biggest challenge for you is being a mom and a boy mom?
The biggest challenge is the energy level. Because as I was looking through your past episodes of Unmasked, I was thinking, well, which one of these, what could I speak to that doesn't overlap with something you've really done before? Yeah. And one thing that I have really struggled with, because I did not come from a boy family, my brother's so much younger than me. He really feels like a child. I don't have a ton of memories with him because he was 12 when I left for college. So we didn't have a ton of overlap in our lives and our interests and things like that. And so becoming a boy mom was kind of a shock. I really always thought I would have daughters and they are loud and energetic. On top of that, I am a very much a type A perfectionist personality. And so I come into anything thinking I have to do it perfectly and perfectly right. And growing up, as many of us did in the 80s and 90s, it was really felt like there was this bootstrap mentality, even in our churches, like the fruit of the spirit. It was before we started talking about that actually being fruit of the spirit. And we just thought we had to bootstrap all of those in our lives. Mm. And that all the stuff came from our own strength and our own doing. And so for about the first 10 years of my motherhood journey, I tried to do it all myself and all well and on my own strength, which quickly spiraled out of control. I can hear you guys laughing at me because you know it doesn't work right when we try to do all that stuff in our own strength. And so God had slowly been telling me to rest through things I would hear, through books I would read. Some of the books I ran across were Sacred Rest by Sandra Dalton. The Life You Long For by Christy Knuckles was another one. Priscilla Shire Study on Sabbath was another one he led me to. And then another one, Grow Slow by Jennifer Dukesley? I think that's who it is. Those were four or five books that he really took me through over a 3-year period. And I love that when he's getting ready to make the bottom drop out of my life in some way, he kind of leads up to it with stuff like that. So I'm reading all these books and think learning about rest is lovely and a good mental activity. And so I make my list and kind of shuffle some things off my plate. And the COVID was kind enough to completely empty all of our plates.
Right.
And just it felt like a child coming through and knocking the entire table clear. But like many of you, I try to go back to normal after COVID. Mm-hmm. It completely cleared our plates. From my perspective, because my kids are not homeschooled, they're public schooled. I got 9 months with them that I realized, okay, I will never, ever have them all together for 9 months in my home ever again. And so I really tried to cherish that time, even though it was insanely crazy trying to do teach my students and help them. Because from the online schooling perspective, that was not online school, just so you guys know. And from a homeschooling perspective, that was also not homeschooling. It was this weird demon hybrid of them both. Mm-hmm. It was the worst mm-hmm. of both worlds. So if you're still cringing at online or homeschooling because of that experience, I would encourage you not to. That was the worst showing of both possible worlds in that instance. But as I try to add stuff back over COVID, it did not work because I was still trying to do stuff so much in my own strength. And finally, God just had to kind of smack me upside the head and get my attention because I was piling, well, like all of you, I was trying to do my day job. I was trying to help my kids with their schooling. I was trying to still volunteer at church as much as we could and help with that and help with the community. And it just wasn't working. And finally, I started feeling insanely tired. Like, you know, that deep bone tired when you're pregnant and nothing ever helps. I so much so that I even took pregnancy tests because I thought I can't possibly be pregnant. But I was that level of tired for so very long. And it took a year of doctor's appointments, seeing 3 or 4 doctors to finally have a doctor who diagnosed me with chronic fatigue a year ago. And what that basically means is that you are incredibly exhausted. There's not much you can do for it besides lifestyle changes, changes in your diet, and resting when you need to. That's where God kind of smiled at me through those 5 books. Was I thought he was gently telling me, here, I need you to rest. I need you to come to me. I need you to learn to not live on your own strength. But to get my attention, he had to really just knock the feet out from underneath me physically, because I'm really terrible about not listening well. and so he did. He really knocked it down, because a year ago I had to decide, okay, what are my priorities in each of my spaces? Because as a mom, I was trying to do all the things. As a wife, I was trying to do all the things. Even as a teacher, author, podcaster, I had my fingers in so many avenues that now that I had this chronic fatigue, which you're tired, you get migraines randomly and will have body aches. Your brain doesn't work as well as it used to. And it just feels like you're in a fog, that I really had to hyper focus on those things that were most important of all. And really what God showed me I needed was more of him. So instead of more good activities, he really helped me to learn to lean into his strength for the things he called me to, but to get really close to him so I could hear what those things were. Because there's so many good things we can do in our world today. So many good things we can volunteer for or give our time to and things like that. But the last 2 years have really forced me to hyper-focus on, okay, my kids and I can't do all the things, but what can we do? And so instead of trying to do 100 different studies and stuff, we honestly just let's do our quiet time on our way to school. Because that's when all of them are strapped in. Because again, I have 3 boys with lots of energy. And so they're all strapped into the car then. I really don't try to do it much any other time. I might say a blessing or pray over them at night. For our chores and stuff, I have a very tight list on the tight list on the fridge, and I just go down that checklist with them. But right now my house, quite frankly, is a disaster. And I was walking through it and I was thinking, I am so tired. I could not fix this. And God was like, you don't need to. They won't even remember what the house looked like. It's okay. Even as I was showing up here, because I've really in my ministry life even decided writing books and speaking are my is my hyper focus. Helping moms abide with Jesus and lean into him is where I'm at. So even as I was showing up for this podcast interview, I was like, God, I'm so tired. I could really use a nap. But you need to show up. You need to do the work. I'm going to get myself to the chair. And he's really taught me to lean into his strength. And I don't think that's a lesson only for me. I think all moms who are trying to do all the stuff in their own strength need to get with God and really listen to where he wants you to be in this time of life that you're in. It's in your seasons change. Right now, my kids are in a pretty active season, starting youth group and stuff. And so my personal volunteer activities have pretty much fallen by the wayside. I'll do things here and there that happen at very specific times, but I don't do a lot right now that requires a lot of outside energy or me not doing something with the boys. So my volunteer activities at church, I do with a kid beside me. And I've looked for things we can do together because I want them to learn to serve. Also, my attention is really hyper-focused on them and their activities and getting them from one thing to another. Because even though I may not always have the energy, I can drive a car and get them and their friends to somewhere. And their youth ministers and the people we have entrusted them to, I know are trustworthy. And so if I can get them to that youth group activity or to that band activity that they're committed to or something like that, that's enough. I don't need to go serve food at it every single time right. if I don't feel up to it. And so I would encourage you to, even if you're not experiencing a chronic illness, most moms right now are crazy tired and they're weary at some level. Those books that I listed were not written because they were written because all of us need rest and all of us need to learn to lean into Christ and ask him, okay, where do you want me in the season of life? And what I did is I just made lists and prayed over them. And God really did. He started taking things off my plate. Or I started feeling this kind of tug that I needed to say no in that area and focus over here. But that clarity and learning to do stuff in his strength is so incredibly freeing and has been so helpful. I'm still learning. Yeah. Sometimes I kick and scream like a three-year-old, but I'm still learning. But that's been the biggest change in my parenting journey the last several years is learning to let go of my own strength and thinking I have to do it all and to lean into him instead.
Mm-hmm. I have a similar story. And actually, that's how I found Dr. Sandra's book, Sacred Rest, because I have suffered with chronic cluster headaches. It's a form of a migraine since high school. Mm-hmm. And they come in a pretty regular pattern. And so I'm accustomed to the pattern. And last summer, not this past one, but the year ago, they came, we knew 6 to 8 weeks kind of thing. And this is what we'll have to experience. And 8 weeks came, they didn't go away. 12 weeks came, they didn't go away. Mm. And 20 weeks came. And, you know, these headaches are very disabling for me. You know, I'm not able to travel out of my house much. I have oxygen with me at all times. And so at 20 weeks, my doctor was kind of at a loss because it had never lasted this long. We had done all the usual things, all the medications, the steroids, just all of it. And mm-hmm. finally, she's the one that looked at me and said, okay, what are you doing? Like, tell me what you're involved in. And I had been on our local school board for 6.5 years and had just decided not to run again. So that wasn't on my plate. So I was kind of like, okay, well, that's not on my plate anymore. And I started listing all the things. And she looked at me and she told me, she said, your body is screaming stop. And she said, I don't know what you have to take off of your plate, but I really, your prescription for me this time around is I need you to say no. Mm-hmm. And that is very hard for me to say no. Because like what you were just saying, it's not enough that my kids are involved on the football team. I need to be part of the board for the football team and I need to be doing all the things. And, you know, when you have 6 children and a husband and then your own ministry desires. Mm-hmm. And so I was forced physically into a sabbatical and I told all of my kids even like, hey, look, I need to rest. And then I found Sacred Rest. And when I read that, I was just blown away at the overload and no wonder my body was freaking out. And, and really, like you said, I had to say no to some really good things, but God was telling me, I need you to prioritize where I need you to be. And I'll be honest with you. There are some days, Tara, that I will, my mind will still be going. Just this morning, I was experiencing not one of my really bad migraines, but a migraine. I think it's probably season change. And I was laying there and I kept thinking, but I need to get up and I've got this email to do and I've got this to do, all the things I needed to do. And all I could hear was just rest. And so I sometimes have to speak it to myself.
Oh, yes. Every single afternoon, or right after this, honestly, I take about an hour nap before I go and pick up my kids. And when my mind is going 60 to nothing, it's like God keeps whispering over me, abide, just abide in me, just remain present with me. Abiding is not running, running, running. It's remaining present with me. That's what it means at its core in the Greek, is to remain, to be held. I love that Christy Knuckles CD entitled Be Held, but that's what it means. And so he reminds me in those moments where my body is forcing me to rest that I am loved by him just as much when I am laying there resting as I am if I am up in front of a board or leading a Bible study or a meeting or running all over town or what have you. He loves me the same no matter what. I am to do things and to use the strength he gives me to help bring glory to him, to help lead my kids to him first and foremost, and then to share the message he gave me with others. But he doesn't need me to run myself ragged to accomplish that. Off of the pages recently of my Bible, I've just been circling all his I will statements. So he tells them, okay, show up and worship me and I will. And he lists like a ton of them in those passages. If you start marking that, because he just wants us to show up and be present with him and to just follow in his footsteps. And like he says, his burden is easy and his load is light. It's not all the stuff we think we need to do. It's not all the pressure we put on ourselves to succeed and do 100 different things. He's really much more gentle with us than we are ourselves.
Right. So in talking about this, like you said, you had looked at some of the other episodes. If you had to put a name to what you have unmasked, what would it be?
Learning not to lean to my own strength. So I know that's not as concise as most of your titles, but really it comes down to thinking I have to do it in my own strength versus learning to lean into the strength that God provides through his Spirit living in us. Because several times, especially in the New Testament, it says the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives in you. If that is true, then we don't have to run ourselves ragged. And it tells us that that same Spirit guides us into the things we need to do. He counsels us. He's just waiting for us to ask for that guidance and that counsel and that strength. So I've really been practicing stopping and listening and leaning into it and knowing if he didn't give me the strength to do my to-do list today, maybe all that stuff doesn't need done. And to really say, okay, what needs done? What is the most important things here for me to show up for?
When you speak of that, the word surrender is what I hear. And it's surrendering our desires, our to-do list, our weaknesses to him and saying, I can't lean into you. I have to surrender my children, all of it to you. You are a big prayer warrior and you just wrote, well, you just published a book. I've been going along with you. It was Everyday Prayers for the School Year. And it came at such a timely time for me personally, because like I said earlier, before we hit record, we just recently moved. And so it forced my youngest into a new school district, into a new school. And, you know, the change has been very challenging. It's been hard. Of course, he misses his friends. He misses the familiarity of the school. I mean, just the physical space. I took for granted, I guess, that my other kids, they've changed schools before because we live in a school district where they build schools. It's fast growing. And so they build schools and the kids move. But my middle four, because they were so close in age, they had each other. And so anytime we went to a new school, there was that familiarity of seeing, you know, brother or sister. And for him, he's alone. He doesn't have a sibling real close in age in elementary school with him. And so even just the physical structure of the school has kind of like been in a, not kind of, it has been a really big adjustment for him. Mm-hmm. And so this prayer book, this journal that you came out with, was just so timely because it forced me to be very concise with, okay, today, this is what I'm going to pray over him. And so I want you to share with me your think, pray, and praise method, because I would love for the listeners to hear your method of daily prayer, because it's just, I love it so much.
Oh, I'm so glad it's been helpful for you. This is actually the Million Praying Moms method of daily prayer. So if you've connected with Brooke McLaughlin and Million Praying Moms at all, this is part of all their prayer journals, is a think, pray, praise. And so what that method is that they just have a verse or that we pray. And so if you have any of the prayer journals, there's a focus verse. And then one of the authors, in this case, for Everyday Prayers for the School Year, it's myself, has written out a prayer based on that verse. Then if you have more time, we encourage you to read the verses surrounding it, because it's really important to get those verses in context. And then in the think, pray, praise, after you've read the verse and then read it in context, you kind of think about what God's teaching you there. So where am I seeing God? What is he teaching me about himself through here? What other things am I seeing? Then you might pray about those things that he's showing you. So we have this one prayer focus on this verse, but if there's other things he brings to mind, then there's that spot for you to pray about those things. And then the pray section is one of my favorite because it helps refocus our heart on what he's already done. So when we focus on what he's already done, it gives us hope for the future. So even as we hand off these other prayer requests to him, those praises help give us hope for the future that he will continue to be there and answer those prayers. And that even if sometimes the answer is no, that we can, again, see where he's been faithful in the past and trust him with our futures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You say under the praise part, because you spell this out in the journal, and you say, praising God is like putting on a pair of rose-colored glasses. It literally changes the way you see the world around you. And I could not agree more.
Yes. And that's what even when I'm not working through one of our prayer journals, I still try to start out my day with praise, because it does. It helps refocus our hearts on that he is faithful in the past and he'll be faithful in the future, and helps us put those glasses on.
My whole day can be changed if I wake up and maybe it was a rough morning getting off the bus or whatever it may be. If I get in my car or I just put it on in my house and I play praise and worship music, it can, I mean, this is so accurate. It literally can change the whole dynamic of your heart when you start your day with, okay, praise music surrounding your car, surrounding your mind and your heart. It does transform you. But I'm going to ask you a tough question.
Okay.
And I'll give you a minute if you need to think about it. So we've talked about how important prayer is in our lives and over our children. That's why Million Praying Moms is so successful, because we need that as moms. Here's something that I want to ask you as a prayer warrior. How would you encourage the mom, Tara, that says, I've prayed all the prayers. I'm doing the thing, but I don't see a difference, or my circumstances haven't changed. How would you encourage them?
I'm going to pause right here, and I'm going to remind you that in the show notes, you can find a link to Everyday Prayers for the School Year, which is the book that Tara wrote. It spells out each day something that we could be praying for our children, for their teachers. Also, there's a link to her podcast, which is called Over a Cup Podcast. I encourage you to listen there. Now let's hear, what does Tara have to say for the weary mom who's been praying and hasn't been getting the answer she's longing for?
I see kind of like three answers to our prayers. When I started praying for my son, before this book was even written, I have this card in my own copy of the book, where I started praying prayers over him about 5 years for his school before this book was even written. So when Brooke asked for someone to write Everyday Prayers for the School Year, I quickly raised my virtual hand, because I was already doing it for my own kids, mm-hmm. and praying over their school year. And one of my prayers for him was a prayer for friends. And that prayer actually took 5 years to be answered, and it got worse before it got better. One of the first stories in Everyday Prayers is about the bullying episode. And that story actually happened after I started praying for him to have better friends at school. So sometimes God has to grow us or our children. In this instance, God took us from a church that we had been at for a while and felt really comfortable at, but I could kind of feel our roots loosening over a period of a couple years. And, but we didn't want to go. We were like, nope, we're good. We're going to stay. And I just kept feeling him shake our roots and kind of gently pull. And finally, COVID just them off. And we went to a bigger church, and not bigger churches aren't always better. I'll put that caveat in here. However, for our family in the season we're now in, it was a good fit because now he has school or children who go to church with him and go to school with him. Where at the other church, there were very few children, period, and none of them went to school with him. And so now he has kids who are in band with him, who are in school with him and in church with him. And he has this group of about five boys that are just each other's people. I just love it. And even for our family as a whole, because I kept saying, that big church doesn't need us. I mean, they have so many people. I did not realize how much we needed them during the season we're in. Because it was shortly after that that I found out I had chronic fatigue or started even feeling all this tiredness. It took another year to find out what why it was happening, but it was a few months after we switched churches that I started feeling this tired. I had no idea how much we needed to just be in a place to just totally rest. And so it's been a great fit for our family, but sometimes God has to grow us and change us. Other times, he simply says no. For instance, there's a prayer I prayed for 20 years. I prayed it all the time. My mom prayed this prayer. Other people prayed this prayer for me. It was not for lack of praying that this thing did not happen, that the circumstances in our life did not change. But finally, this summer, when we were on vacation, I just kind of felt God telling me, Tara, have I asked you to pray for this? Have I asked that you change this circumstance? And I was like, no. And he was like, I haven't once said, do something different, get a new job, do this thing. I haven't said change it. But just like he told Peter, my grace is sufficient for you. This is where I want you to be right now. This is where I want your family to be right now. And even though it doesn't feel like enough, I will make it enough. I will make it work. I am making it work, and it can bring just as much glory to me with what feels like less and feels like lack as it could if you had enough and more. And it just completely changed my perspective. Even though that situation is still hard some days, I have a peace about it because I know that for whatever reason, I don't even know the reason yet, God has us here in this situation and that he'll be faithful, that it won't ruin my kids or ruin me or ruin my marriage or what have you. But God will still show up and be faithful in the situation. And I prayed that for 20 years. So he finally just kind of woke me up and pecked me on the shoulder. I was like, I haven't been asking you to pray for this. I haven't asked you to move in this situation. So you just need to trust me and to rest in me. And that was hard. I did not like hearing that no. But that conversation with him just brought me this deep-seated peace. And even on hard days, I'm like, okay, but I know this is going to be okay. I know you're going to get us through this. I know this hurts and this is uncomfortable, but I'm going to trust you even here when I cannot see. So I would say for the mom who doesn't see a situation with their child yet changing yet, especially when it comes to their hearts, that really breaks ours whenever we know they're breaking God's hearts and they're not following God. Keep showing up. Keep doing those things. My siblings and all went through a crazy period where we lost our ever loving minds, but God was faithful to my mom's daily planting of seeds and her work of prayer. And now all of us are faithful in our churches and are active in our communities. We came out on the other side of that. So it is possible. So I would encourage you, keep praying, keep showing up. Some situations God will flat out tell you no to, and that hurts when you're told no. But even like Brooke was talking about on the podcast this week, for Million Praying Moms, I listened to her and Stacy. She talks about how even when he gives us a no, that he still was showing up in that, that we can still trust him to be working things out for our good and his glory, because that's who he says he is. We just don't have a big enough perspective to see how this is working out and bringing glory to his kingdom. We just see the trouble it's causing us or the discomfort in this moment when it can be bringing so much more good than we might ever know.
Well, and it reminds me, you know, I have a situation in our home with our oldest son. He unfortunately struggles with addiction. And so it's been many, many years of really poor choices. And then unfortunately the addiction, you know, consuming his life. And so my prayer for so many years is, you know, God, fix it and remove this spirit of addiction from him and this longing and all the things. Me believing that the only way our family would be okay, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, is if he was healed completely of this disease of addiction. And what I have seen over the past couple of years, because he has not been part of our lives physically, going on 2 years now, so I don't get to see him and randomly get any sort of communication with him. You know, I felt like the testimony was in his complete healing. And what God has shown me over the last 2 years is that there's a testimony and a goodness in the strength and the peace and the ability for me to continue as his mom, for me to continue to hopefully parent the other children through this, because being a sibling of an addict is not an easy road either. Mm-hmm. This doesn't just affect mom and dad. And so the prayers that I have prayed of, you know, Lord, just heal him. I really feel like God has encouraged me to take a step back, even though that specific desire has not come to fruition yet. I can hold on to the hope that it will one day, he will be healed of this addiction, but he's made it so obvious and allowed me to see other prayers that I wasn't maybe necessarily, that wasn't the focus. So, you know, I'm praying really fervently for Lord, heal him. And the little prayers that are going along with it are, you know, Lord, give me the words to, and the confidence to be honest with the other kids. Lord, give me peace. Lord, let me sleep. Lord, let my husband and I not, let us be on the same page on how we handle this. And so when I stop looking at my hyper-focused prayer of heal him, and I start looking at all the other little prayers that were sprinkled in among that, that's where I see some answers. You know, that's where I'm like, oh gosh, I do have a peace that surpasses my own understanding. And, you know, when other moms are like, how do you do it? I literally, the only words I can give you are, because God gives me peace to do it. He gives me strength to do it. And so, so I agree with you. It also maybe don't be so hyper-focused on the big thing you were praying for and take a step back and abide. You used that word earlier, abide. And what are the little answered prayers that you may not be hyper-focused on that God said, but I've given you peace through this. Haven't answered that one, but here's what I have answered. And then we do really just, for me, it's that aha moment of really seeing the goodness of God in things I maybe didn't even ask for.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you mentioned with that word surrender, it's learning to surrender that thing to him. Because even Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will. And so if he hadn't gone to the cross, I don't know where we'd be. But it's learning to surrender those things to him. But oftentimes he grows us through that situation and grows our belief. And yes, lets us share it with others. When I'm trying to teach my sons, don't do these things, because they're all preteens right now. Be careful of who your friends are. Be careful about these things. For the good or the bad, that family member is giving them a demonstration of what happens when you're not. And so I prayed for them to return, and I pray that they did. But even in their struggle, they're being an example for those coming behind them, where we wish everybody was a great example. They may not be, but who knows who they kept safe. that we can use our example. And hopefully at some point your son will turn. And like you said, you have this testimony of healing, but God can work even in the waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. What is something right now that you are praying for? And do you have a verse that you would share with our listeners?
There are so many. So
I know it's hard to narrow it down.
It is hard to narrow it down because I have a longer one that I pray every morning for myself, but a quick short one for my kids is Ephesians 4:29. And that's the verse that says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up so it may benefit those who listen." Because as I mentioned, they're in that preteen stage. And so really struggling with being kind to each other. I know all kids struggle with that, but like all moms, I really want them to grow up and be friends, because like I've learned, and many of you have probably learned, your friends come and go, but your siblings are the ones who are going to be with you forever. So I want them to have that adult relationship with them. And so I've been praying this over them, is that they will let no unwholesome talk come out of their mouths, but only what is helpful for building up those who listen. And that's actually their memory verse. So that I want it to get into their hearts and really into their heads. Another one that I'm praying over myself is about the results being all up to me. And it's kind of several verses that I've strung together. It's one that I really keep leaning into, especially as a mom. But it says, "Father, I am struggling. I believe the results are up to me, but that is not true. Over and over again in your words, you say, 'I will.' Please help me to truly believe the results are in your capable hands. May I remember that you have promised you will provide, you will grow, you will, ... My job is to believe, abide, and love. You produce the fruit. Jesus provides the example and more, and the Spirit guides and more. I follow. Please help me to surrender the feeling of responsibility for the things that are not mine, and to believe, abide, love, and trust and follow where you lead. You promise to give whatever I ask for in Jesus' name. So I'm asking in Jesus' name, amen." And that's when I just wrote down on a note card and have tucked in my prayer, my Bible and journal. And I read that almost every morning. And in reading that, it really helps my heart, because it helps me to focus on, okay, what is my responsibility? I can't make sure all these outcomes happen, but I can plant the seeds. I can show up and plant seeds, whether it's in my kids' lives or my students' lives or others' lives. I can show up and plant seeds with the time and the strength He's given me. And so that's what I'm really trying to focus on, is that I follow, He provides and grows and does all those things.
Yeah. Cause he's fully capable.
He is.
We sometimes think He needs us, and He's like, "I really know I've got this." Well, I will tell you, as a mom who has some adult children, there were numerous fights with, you know, the five older ones, especially those four middle that were born in 5 years. So they were very close in age, and there were numerous quarrels, and she's touching me, and he said this, and, you know, unkind words spoken or whatever. And I would tell them all the time, you know, when they would vent to me about, "Oh, they're just getting on my nerves," or whatever. And I would say, "Look, guys, trust me when I tell you, you may not like them today, but one day you're going to thank me that you have each other. And, you know, one day mom and dad are going to be long gone, but y'all will always have each other." And, you know, of course, when they were 10 and 11, that was just stupid. Like, "I'm never going to like her." And now it is really cute to see, because those four are now 19, 20, 22, and 24. And they're very close.
Oh, that's so
they're
cool. That's
very encouraging. Very close. And it's two boys and two girls. And so sometimes, I mean, just the other day, one of the girls was over visiting, and she made a comment about one of the brothers texting her. And so they have their own little conversations, and they have their own little group chat that we're not involved in. And I love that. And they do. I mean, let me tell you, don't mess with each other. They are very protective over each other. And so I kind of giggle, because I'm like, I remember you saying you were never going to like her, and now you would go to jail for her. You know, like, nobody's messing. My boys are very protective of their sisters. And it's funny, because the girls are equally as protective of the boys. And so I worry about their future spouses. It's not like the boys literally aren't ever telling their girlfriends, hey, you're going to have to meet my mom. They're like, ooh, you're going to have to meet my sisters. You got to pass the sister test first. And I love that. I do love that. And so right now it may feel like, I don't know if you're ever going to like each other, but they will, as you and your brother do, you know, it all comes to fruition. And so, thank you for those verses. Thank you for that prayer. It's beautiful. It speaks back to our conversation of surrendering all of it, our list, our desires, our needs, our wants, our physical being, surrendering it to Jesus and abiding in him and trusting that he will do the work that he says he will do. And so it's been a pleasure talking with you, Tara, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Courtney.
If you want to print, screenshot, or share this week's verse, head to the show notes where you're going to find a link to my website and a graphic for you to use. Thanks so much for listening to Masquerade of Motherhood with Courtney Doyle. We want to be sure this blesses you and other mothers. And in order to do this, first, you must subscribe. This way you won't ever miss an episode. Also, if you'll rate and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you're listening, this will increase our reach to other mothers who need a little encouragement, a community, and a whole lot of Jesus. We're so glad you're here.